turn into the book of Habakkuk. I taught the book of Habakkuk here roughly, just overviewed it in Sunday school some time ago. There's a lot of strong preaching out of the book of Habakkuk. Back years ago, I was listening to some preachers, and as on the other side of the globe, I've mentioned this several times too, in Britain and British preachers and even Presbyterians and some of them, they'd say, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, that's how they pronounce it in other places. Now, we may be wrong in calling it Habakkuk, and it might be Habakkuk. I don't know, but however you want to call it that tonight. And if you got a Scofield Bible, page 955 is going to be the right page if you can't find it. And we're going to look at that. I pray tonight God will give us something here to study. We'll not get too far into this, but I pray that the Lord will give us something. And I was going to preach on the five questions out of the book of John that was asked the Lord. And I told you the Lord may change my mind, and he did. I already had that and ready. And so I had to study something else. You have to follow the leadership of the Lord. I believe this is the message tonight. And so I pray that God might help us. If you find your place in chapter 1, verse 1, it will stand. And I pray tonight we'll read together as we stand here. He said, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. And they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God." And we'll stop right there. You can be seated, and let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding tonight to comprehend this great book that you put in our Bible tonight, God, that we can use to help us to see the things of the Lord. I pray that your mind, Lord, might be our mind. And Lord, your thoughts might be our thoughts tonight, or our thoughts may be your thoughts. Lord, that we might speak as thus saith the Lord, and not as men. But I pray we might exalt and magnify Christ. In the midst of this, Lord, may we see ourselves and find our place in the book of Habakkuk. And God, may our hearts be touched and strengthened. We'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, looking at this book of Habakkuk tonight, I want to look at it and break it down. And I pray it might help us. There's only three chapters and 56 total verses, 1,373 words. But there's a lot of message in them three chapters. God wants us to see it, and here's what the Lord wants us to hear out of the book of Habakkuk. The ways of God in a world of war and sin. How we're supposed to live and do. Now, I remind you this, and we'll go back, and you remember I've said it now, what, three Wednesday nights in a row, I know. And we know, as we talked about Job, we talked about Obadiah on Wednesday night past, and then tonight in Habakkuk. And I told you the breakdown of the Old Testament. I will share it with you again tonight. There are 17 books of the Bible, and the first 17 of the Old Testament are historical. Then God put in the middle of that five books called the poetical books that are for our personal help and strength, that God can speak to us and give us what we need in the middle. Then there are 17 more books of the Bible after those five books. And when you get to that, that's the last 17 books. And they're the prophetic books where the prophets are. So Habakkuk is a prophet. He's a prophet of God, and he's telling us something is going to be future. And these three chapters, I'll give you this to jot down, if you will, to get it fixed in your mind. It's a faith book. God wants us to see it, and we'll share that with you tonight as we come through it. In chapter 1, we find the faith of Habakkuk. If you will, tonight, he's puzzled in his faith. He's perplexed. His faith is puzzled. He's not, he's wondering what's going on. And we're going to try to look at this a little bit. In chapter number 2, he's learned to get patient. And all the perplexity that's going on around him, he's become patient in the second chapter. And he allows God to begin to work in his heart and get himself where he needs to be. And that's what we need to do, is let God work in our hearts. And then he comes to the third chapter. He's no longer perplexed. He's trusted God with it. In chapter 2, he's no longer, well, his patience is paid off, because in chapter 3, he begins to sing. And so it's not perplexed. He begins to start praising God. Amen. And so those three chapters are deal tonight with, first of all, our testing. God tests us. In chapter 2, God deals with our trusting Him. And then in chapter number 3, He deals with being triumphant and victorious. So these three chapters, if you break them down like that, they'll help you to be strengthened by them. So let's look at the prophet Habakkuk and give you some states of where he is. He's worried with the conditions of the land. The land is not looking good. He's gotten up, the Bible said in verse 1, the burden. He's got a burden. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. He's troubled. He's worried about the conditions. And beloved, today I'll tell you what, I love the country I live in. I appreciate the United States of America. Don't like everything I see going on in it. It bothers me because America's left God and walked away from God. God hadn't left her, but we've left Him. And as I look at this tonight, I'm troubled with it, and I'm concerned. If you're not concerned about the nation you've been raised in, something's wrong with your spiritual, condition. Any child of God tonight ought to be concerned about how your grandchildren, your children, your grandchildren are going to have to put up with things that we've never faced before. Brother, I'll tell you, Habakkuk had got to that place and he was worried about the conditions of the land. And then we find, as he keeps on worried, being worried about it, he begins to keep watching. And in chapter number 2, with his patience, he begins to start and keep watching with confidence. He begins to gain some confidence that God is in control. We'll share that with you in just a minute, some things that we ought to see. And then as he goes on, he begins to worship God and is praising in chapter number 3. And he's beginning to worship God with contentment. Now, what does that teach me? It teaches me tonight that the way I look at things is going to control my faith and control my actions. If I begin to look, and so I hear people say this all the time, I don't even like to watch the news anymore, preacher. When I turn on the news, One's a killing another, and another's killing that, and it's a killing here, and it's a killing there. And brother, you look at all this and you say, I don't even want to watch the news. If you watched all that stuff and read the paper and seen all the things that's going on in evil and ungodliness, it'll make you throw your hands up in the air. That's where Habakkuk had got to. But after a while, he begins to look at the situation a little longer and a little better. And he begins to be patient on God and wait on God, knowing that God in heaven has blessed him. God in heaven has been with him, and God in heaven has given him what he needed. And so he leans back and he begins to trust God and say, hey, with all the devastation and all the trouble in the land and all the ungodliness and the wickedness that's going on, my God is still in control. And the way he began to look at the situation changed the outlook of what he began to believe and look at. Now, if you start looking at the gloom and the doom of this country, brother, I'll tell you right now, you just might as well admit this. You'll get it to place you want to throw the towel in and quit and go home. Amen. And not even want to read your Bible no more and pray when you look at the situation. But I'll tell you, knowing what God has done down through the years, knowing what God is to you right now and what he has done for you, brother, make you stand back and look and say, hey, my God is still in control. Amen. That's right. And it makes you just keep on worshiping him with all kinds of confidence, knowing that God is going to intervene. So how you look at God and the situation around you will determine how strong in the faith you are in the Lord. Is that right? Amen. You can convince yourself that, oh boy, this crowd, that's what they've done. Look at this crowd that talks about global warming. I mean, they have got themselves out so far that they honestly believe it's all going to blow up. It's all going to quit. It's all going to hey, we're in an urgent situation. This thing's, it's not going to last much longer. They've got themselves believing that. And you say, don't you think that too, preacher? No. I believe God turned the switch on, and I believe God will turn the switch off. I don't believe you can outdo God. Amen. I don't believe anybody can. Amen. You can hug all the trees in the world you want to, shut down all the automobiles and cut down all the smokestacks, and you're not going to change anything. Amen. God is still going to let the sun shine as long as he wants to let it shine. And God one of these days will turn it up. They haven't read their Bible. If they read their Bible, they'll know that this thing's on a time limit. It's on a time schedule. Everything's operating the way God wants it. The earth is moving in the right direction, amen, around the sun. And it will not quit that until God says stop. And that's going to be a while down the road. Amen. I'm comfortable with it, so I don't worry about that. They're talking about all the stuff. Well, I'll tell you tonight, when we look at these things, we need to study the Word of God and help us out a little bit. Somebody said, how do we study the Bible? Study it the way God wrote it. One book at a time. Amen. Everybody wants to know everything there is to know about the Bible, and they might as well mark it down. They're not going to know everything there is to know about it. That's why I try to look at books. I study the books one at a time and try to get an overview of them books before I try to get into the verses of it. If I don't get an overall view of it, I'm not going to know what the verses are. So I look at the setting of how God give us the Word of God. Now here we find that Habakkuk is perplexed. He's perplexed about what's going on. But we got people that are perplexed today about how the world situation is. I mean, they're so into politics that they think the politicians are the answer. They're into religion so much that they think the Pope is the answer. I heard the old Pope is going to die. Amen. Said he's getting close to passing over. I hope he gets right with God, don't you? Amen. And you think about that just for a minute. Stop to think about it. They're looking for religion to solve the problems. I'm not looking for somebody to walk through and solve the problems tonight. I'm looking for Jesus. Amen. Come in the clouds, aren't you? So as I look at this tonight, I see it. They're perplexed how the world is continuing on. They're perplexed. Men's perplexed all around us. Now, look at the situation here. Verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3, verse number 4. First of all, I want to tell you tonight that Habakkuk is only mentioned 2 times in the entire Bible. Much like what I said about Obadiah on Wednesday night, he was only mentioned 1 time. God's not concerned in the messenger as he is the message. Habakkuk's mentioned twice. Number 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet unto Shigionoth. Now, look at this. In chapter 1, verse 1, he had a burden. But in chapter 3, verse 1, he had a prayer. Amen. I guess you better let him in back there. Amen. Chapter 1, he had a burden. In chapter 3, verse 1, he had a prayer. So there's a difference. So you see tonight, Habakkuk, he's got a problem. He's looking at the land, he's seeing it, and he begins to discuss it. He begins to look at it in chapter number 1, and he begins to go down through there, and here's what he says. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say? What was going on? Violence. If you notice in our scripture tonight, violence is mentioned in verse number 1, violence is mentioned in verse number 3, and violence is mentioned in verse number 9. All kinds of violence. If you'll read this, you'll see America. You'll see it just like our land is today. Has not changed. Things are happening and people are doing the same thing they did. Here's what's happened. Israel has got to the place now that she's full of strife and she's full of contention. You'll see that. Verse number 1. He said, even cry out unto thee of violence. And you'll look at this. They're having contention. And there's problems. Look at verse number 3. The last part. And there are that raise up strife and contention. Always strife and contention. Now looking at this tonight. As we see it. We'll see tonight. Israel was full of all kinds of strife. Habakkuk's looking at that. Here's the people that I've lived with down through the years. Here's the people that I've worshiped with for years. Here's the people that I've watched raise their children all around me. And Habakkuk says, now the land's full of strife and contention. Oh, that ought to touch our hearts tonight to watch our nation that we watch turn its back on God and get to the place it is tonight full of strife and contention. It ought to make us be burdened. We ought to have a burden like Habakkuk. And cry out to God, oh God, touch our nation. The second thing we look at, we find sin and iniquity had dominion and is very preeminent. Sin had taken over. Everything was continually sinning. That's the way it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. We're living in that day today. Sin and iniquity is everywhere. You can't go nowhere without somebody you seeing something going on. And sin is being accepted. And it's just basic things that we used to call sin and iniquity now are accepted. And it's just a common thing for it. Not only that, idol worship had begun to take over. Listen, idols used to be people, they worshiped idols in the secret and in the dark and in them groves. But now in America, we've got an idol sitting about everywhere and people out in the open worship other gods. Amen. It ought to burden our heart and we ought to have a burden like Habakkuk. And we see that people had turned their backs on God in that day. And that's where Habakkuk got to. He had seen people that used to worship God, used to love God, used to work for God, used to live for God. Now they've thrown in the towel and quit, and they're just as ungodly or more ungodly than they ever were. I've seen the same thing. Well, I've got some people, and many of them been friends down to the years to me, but tonight they won't even enter the house of God. They won't even talk about the Lord. They won't even read their Bible. They won't even pray. And they won't give you the time of day either if you start talking to them about it. They don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, we've come to that place. I have a burden tonight for that. Then he looks at this and he says, in verse 3, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. It come to the place that the poor was mistreated by those who had the money, by the rich. And we are seeing that in our country. The defenseless, the people that couldn't help themselves, were misused and mistreated. And we were watching that happen up and down our street. And then on top of that, God said He is going to raise the Chaldeans up, and the Chaldeans is going to... Habakkuk had seen all this. And he's going through it. And he had seen it look like it's going to be an overthrow to his nation. We've watched different nationalities of people. We've watched different countries infiltrate our land, take our God away from us. And we've allowed that. And we have turned our back on God and followed after them. Amen. I have to follow after their gods. Brother, it bothers me. It may not disturb you, but it bothers me. When I begin to see this tonight, he is Habakkuk was a man of faith. I want you to look at this. Chapter number 2. Let's look at some things about Habakkuk. Chapter number 2, and give you 3 or 4 things about him. Number 1, let's look at it in chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible said, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the what? Just, that's to say, shall live by his faith." Have you heard that before? Amen. It's triggered off the New Testament. Paul mentions that 3 times. I'll give you the 3 places he mentions them. I've done that here before. I said I taught this in Sunday school, some of it, not all this. But looking at it, he was a man of faith. And you'll find Romans chapter 1 and 17 said, "The just shall live by faith." In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, "The just shall live by faith." In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, "The just shall live by faith." And so it's triggered off in any age and any dispensation, we're to live by faith. So he was a man of faith. In chapter 2 and verse number 3, he said, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." He's not only a man of faith, but he's a man of patience. I told you that a while ago. He's a man of patience. Don't we need more patience? God is going to work His work. You can count on that tonight. And He's going to work His work in our hearts, and we need to allow Him to do that. And so we find He's a man of patience. And in chapter number 2, in verse number 20, there's something else about Him. The Bible said, "But the Lord is in His holy temple, and all the earth keeps silence before Him." We'll find tonight that He's a prophet of hope. He's telling them God is going to do His work. He's a prophet of faith, He's a prophet of patience, and He's a prophet of hope. And we need all that, don't we? We need faith, hope, and patience. Brother, God helps us with that if we look at it. Chapter number 1, he's sighing. He's got the place, tears are flowing from his eyes. He's crying. He's sighing to God, "Lord, what are you going to do about it?" You're going to look at some other things about this tonight. I believe Habakkuk was a personal. He got personal with this. And I don't believe tonight we're going to be what we ought to be until we get personal with God and get personal with what's going on around us. Oh, yeah, we can talk about Atlanta and New York and California. Amen. Smoking weed and all the stuff that they're doing today and legalizing abortion and all. Oh, yeah, we can set back. But I want to tell you, until we get the place we start crying out to God, we're not going to see our nation change. You know why we don't have revivals in our land? You know why we don't have revivals anymore? Because we are not serious with God anymore. Amen. We have a lot of meetings, but we don't have revivals. Where have you seen a revival? God's people getting revived and stirred. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, we ain't had one in a long time." We ain't. When you want a revival, we'll have one. Amen. Nobody said anything about, "Oh, we need a revival. God, revive us." We don't want revival. We might want meetings, but we don't want revival. We have to pay a price to be revived. Amen. Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. Think about that with me tonight. Well, let's go on. In chapter 1, he's silent. In chapter 2, he's silence. He's quiet. He's waiting on God. How many of us have been waiting on God? We're criticizing, we're upset, we're disturbed about the way our nation is. But we're not waiting on God to do anything. He got silenced and he began to wait on God. All right, go a little bit further. In chapter number 3, he's got what he needed. God intervened. And guess what happened? He got to singing. He sighed in chapter 1, silent in chapter 2, and in chapter 3, he gets up a song and starts singing. There's a lot of difference between chapter 1 and chapter 3. Had the nation changed? Hadn't changed a whole lot. Read it. Amen. But God changed the prophet's mind and some of the people around him. Now let's look at this. As we look at him tonight and see the prophet, and see him, and see how he is. Habakkuk means, in the Word of God, it means seeking the Lord. It means tonight having a desire. Matter of fact, it means the embraced one, or embracing. It means that he reached out and tried to embrace Christ and follow him. Let's look at some things. This burden is a prayer. And so he begins to get... Number one, he had a broken heart. It's a broken heart that changes countries. It's a broken heart that changes churches. It's a broken heart that changes you. It's a broken heart that changes me. Until I get broken, God's not going to do much for me. Until you get broken, God's not going to do much for you. When you're broken and burdened and troubled, and crying out to God, the more broken you are, the more burdened you are, the more you pray. Most of us don't pray enough to shake up anything in heaven. We don't shake heaven. We want everybody else to do our praying, but God help us. He had a broken heart. He had a burden. That burden was a personal problem. In verse 1, he said, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Pretty good when you not only... I mean, you can see that burden. It's out in the open. And he had a burden. He had a personal problem. He had a problem in the land. Secondly, we'll find his burden was a perplexing problem. Chapter 1, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Did you see that? He's come to place, his burden has been so strong, he's crying out to God and he's been doing it. He'd been praying days and weeks and months maybe. I don't know how long he's been praying, but now he's saying to God, he said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Lord, how much longer are we going to go on without you hearing me? Have you ever got there? Wonder why God don't answer your prayers? He come to place in his life. He's saying, hey, Lord, how long? How long? I got a broken heart. I'm perplexed. He had two questions. Chapter 1 and verse number 2. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? How long am I going to have to keep praying before you intervene? How long am I going to have to keep on? I've been calling on you, been calling on you, been calling. You pray, you weep, you cry out for your loved ones. God save them. God touch them. How long are we going to have to keep praying that? And God not intervene. Is that right? Comes that way, don't it? The second question, if you'll look at it tonight, chapter 1 and verse 13. He said in verse 13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue with the wicked devoureth, or when the wicked devoureth of me, the man that is more righteous than he. How long, Lord, am I going to have to keep praying? And how long are you going to let them get by without punishment? How long are you going to let the wicked keep on living and enjoying life and not stepping in and intervening? How long are you going to keep on putting up with this unrighteous deeds that's going on. And how long are you going to not pass judgment on them? He had two burdens. They're personal. There they are. He's got a personal and a perplexing problem. And it's persistent. When he gets up in the morning, his prayer ain't answered. When he goes to bed at night, his prayer's not. He gets up the next day, he prays, but God's not answering him. I want to show you something. Chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Habakkuk's talking about how bad it is and how long. But verse number 5, look at this. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. This is God speaking. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. God said to Habakkuk, if I've heard your prayer, you've gone day after day, you think that first of all, I ain't heard you. You think secondly, that I'm not going to heed what you have to say. But God says to Habakkuk, you can count on this. I'm fixing to intervene. I'm fixing to send the Chaldeans, he goes on down, and they're going to come in and bring you under subjection. Judgment is fixing to fall. He said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. Amen. His unanswered prayer. He felt it was unheard and unheeded. Now sometimes we pray, God gives us delays. Amen. How many of you in here have prayed and God's answered you every single time in a short manner? If there's anything that aggravates me, and I'm not into this, I'm not into texting, but I do text a little. It's a little easier sometimes than a phone call. Ain't it? Hey, it's convenient. If you text me, I might not answer you right then. It may take a while, because I ain't into this holding the phone and looking at it. Amen. I got other things to do. I got more things to do than sit around with my thumb on my phone. You catch me at a bad time, I might be driving down the road and I ain't text nothing going down the road. I get tired of them doing that to me. Amen. And I see them sometimes texting with their fingers on the phone and right with a steering wheel in their hand. I thought, their mind can't be where they... I better watch them. They'll be on my side. But if there's anything that bothers me, it's for me to text you and you don't come back with me. I do the same thing. I want you... When I text, I figure that's the time of my life that I need to text you. And you ought to stop everything and text me back, even though that's not the practice I have when I... Amen. Now you tell me if that ain't the same way you feel. You expect somebody to text you back. No. Well, I text them, but they ain't come back to me yet. 15 minutes later, they're there. I said, well, it's about time. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, sometimes you send in a message to God, and He don't just give you a return right then on the spot. He delays it. Sometimes He delays and sometimes He denies it. You ever wonder why God don't answer your prayer? He don't intend to answer it. He's prayed amiss, he's prayed selfishly, prayed with sin in your life, and God said, I'm not going to answer that prayer. And sometimes He does. He answers it right back. Give God the praise for it. But here Habakkuk was worried about it. He had seen unrivaled vice, sin everywhere. He'd seen unrestricted violence in the land. And he saw the prosperity of the wicked. How many times have you said, look at old so-and-so, they never go to church. Got 3 brand new cars, got a brand new house and a boat. They got a house on the lake. They're making good money, going everywhere. Looks like they're having the best time of their life. And we're just making ends meet, barely making ends meet, driving a rattle trap, and our clothes ain't the best in the world, and we're griping and whining. The prosperity of the wicked. Man, I guess if I didn't go to church, I'd have all that too. Makes you want to give up and quit. You've entertained it a few times. You've thought about it. But that's what is happening here in the world of Habakkuk. Not only were they doing that, but there was no punishment for the righteous. Punishment for the righteous. They was giving the righteous people a bad rap. They talk about Christians in America. You carry a Bible under your arm and they'll get upset with that. They don't want you praying in the public. They don't want you witnessing in the public. Went down here in Demarest. I never will forget the times that we did that. The little apartments going into Demarest, right as you get to the top of the hill, fix you go into Demarest, there's a set of apartments right there on the right. They've been there for years. They just had built them. And we decided we'd go down there and knock on the doors and pass out tracts. And we went into that place and knocked on doors. And we got four or five of them. And some fella stepped out and said, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "We're passing out gospel tracts and witnessing to people." He said, "You see the sign up there?" I looked and he says, "No soliciting." Well, I thought soliciting is trying to sell vacuum cleaners and politics and all that. I didn't know witnessing the men and women about their soul, where they're going to spend eternity, was soliciting. And they run me out of that place. Amen. Since then, I've been run out of several of them. They won't let you. In America, you can't just go anywhere. When I started preaching years ago, you could preach on the street constantly. You didn't have to get much, any kind of permission. You just stop your car and get out and preach. I preached in Norcross. I preached in South Carolina. I preached all over the place. We'd go downtown and preach. We had loudspeakers. When I first started preaching, you could put big old loudspeakers. I'm talking about big ones like this, horns, on the top of your car. We had a rack on top of the car, and we'd go down on Sunday afternoon. I spent hours on Sunday afternoons. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just going to tell you where we are. And I'd go up and down the street, men in the car with me. I'm sitting there with my Bible with a microphone, and I'm just a preaching away. And the kids are coming out of the houses and standing on the side of the road in the houses, one house to another, and on the right. And the men were passing out tracts, and kids were getting them like it was candy. And I'd preach for 2 hours and then go back and preach on Sunday night in church. That was great days. We pull up in Duluth, get them old loudspeakers and back it up in the shopping center. And an old fella, he had that loudspeakers, and I'd go with, and he'd preach and then I'd preach. And they'd gather around. I went to Norcross and asked him, could I preach? They said, "Yeah." I preached in front of the hardware store, just outside the door. Went to South Carolina, preached in Clarksville, preached in Cornelia. But now, we went to Greenville one time and preached with us, and the police come up and run us off. I'm telling you tonight, we used to be able to do that. Now you can't. I'm perplexed that we cannot get the gospel out. But you know what you can do? You can sell donuts on Saturday just about anywhere you want to for a mission trip. Amen. But you can't. You can go to Walmart and used to be able to pass out tracts and can't do that now. Can't stand in front of Walmart and preach. Amen. Went to the hospital passing out literature years ago. Now you have to see the chaplain if you do it. We are perplexed tonight where our nation's come to. Habakkuk had got to that place. And they want to punish the righteous. And then there was no power of authority. Amen. No law. We've come to that place in America. You know why our cops are getting killed day after day? Because they have no authority anymore. It's always the cops' fault for somebody getting killed. They go to break up a fight. They try to shut a mama or a daddy up, or shut a man or a woman up that are drunken and so forth, on drugs, And brother, their life is at stake. Why? Because our law does not have any authority anymore. I heard our sheriff of this county not long ago, they had him on a radio and he's talking to him. And he said, now there's no punishment for all that's going on. You can have drugs now. You know, years ago I'd go to the jailhouse and speak and preach. And they'd say, this is the third DUI, driving on the influence. And they're going to send me off. Now you can get drugs and alcohol and they won't send you off. And they'll just give you a little bit more probation, and just keep on going with. There's no authority to the law system. I'm perplexed tonight. I'm like, oh, Habakkuk, how long, Lord, are you going to continue? But I know there's hope in sight. Amen. I look at it. Then there was poverty to those in the Word of God here that they were mistreating. We'll see that. We got anarchy in the world tonight. We got apostasy in the religious world, and we got apathy in the church. How many do you think tonight sits on our pews day after day, week after week, month after month in our churches that have a real burden and been praying and seeking the face of God for some lost soul? There used to be a time when God's people come to the church house and they prayed for somebody's lost. They'd pray for somebody down the road that did not know God, and they keep praying, and they keep praying, bringing them to the altar, and keep praying, and months after months may go by, but after a while we find that individual walking in one day, coming down the altar and getting saved. You don't see that no more. Too much apathy. Our minds are on something else. We're not concerned about where our neighbor's going to hell or not. We just don't want him to get his dog out on our side of the fence. We're more concerned about the physical things and the kind of cars that they have and the clothes they wear than we are whether they're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. We've got the wrong things on our mind. We come to church. We're selfish. We just want to be blessed, touched, get rid of it and get through and get out of here. The law was despised here. The law was disregarded. You get to despise it. That's what's happened in America. The thugs and the hoodlums out on the street knows that the authorities have no power whatsoever, and so they just get out there and do what they want to do and laugh at the cops. That's where our nation is tonight. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. Somebody said it's a mental problem. It's a spiritual problem. The devils have poisoned their mind. They got other things on their mind. And listen, when judgment ain't passed out and when there's no correction of crimes and no correction, guess what happens? They get by. You take a kid and don't discipline that child. You know what the Bible says about it? It said one of these days that child will rise up against you. And one of these days you'll wish you had. And one of these days you won't be able to control that child. That child will control you. Amen. I've seen it happen over and over and over more than one time. And it happens that way. We're seeing it in our nation. When a thug can steal and get by with it, and all they do is slap him on the hand, let him pay a fine, and sometimes don't even do that. And when mom and daddy steps in and pays the fine. Amen. My daddy said, you ever get in jail, don't call me. I never got in jail and never called him. You know why? I believed him. You get in jail, he said, you'll spend the night there. Don't call me. He used to say, go to school and get a whipping. You better not let me know about it. You'll get another when you get home. And now mama goes and whips the teacher. Is that where we are? That's what's happened to us tonight. I'm like Habakkuk. I've got a burden for a nation. I not only got a burden for a nation, but I got a burden for our churches. I'm watching our churches crumble. I'm watching them fold. I'm watching them dry up. I'm watching them dwindle out. It's just a form and a fashion. It's just things that we just do and don't do. It's just a ritual. God help us. I don't want that to continue on. I want to see God move. Well, I thought since I started off early, I might quit a little quicker. But that ain't so. But I will quit right here. Didn't get far. We'll have to come back on Habakkuk and get some more things. Would you bow your head tonight? Our churches are filled with apathy. Oh, God, help me to have a concern like I've never had, a burden like I never had. Amen. We're burdened more about the old car running about, you know, needing tires on it. We're more concerned about the roof leaking and more concerned about the dog fixing to die. We're more concerned about things than we are men and women that's going to hell.